You guys are going to have to forgive me. I know this is a big, big ask from me, but today's message is going to be pretty short. So I know you guys love the secret church model with the, you know, 6-hour fire hydrant kind of thing, but this week just didn't lend itself to it, and I tried to do a structured message, but as I did, the Lord led me down this path to talk about what we're going to talk about today. So I want to honor him and be obedient to him, and it turns out, bonus, it's going to be pretty short, unless the Holy Spirit intervenes, and if he does, then man, we're going to be here until next week. So, so what I'm doing today, I'm not so much preaching a sermon to you as much as I'm going to tell you about the sermon that has been preached to me all week long. Does that sound okay? So all this week, we've been prepping for the escape room. We've had just almost every night, you know, something was going on to the effect of getting everything set up for that, going out and buying stuff, getting things configured, making sure it works. And there was a ton of people up here many, many nights. Just a million little things that had to be put into place and tested and checked and things like that. And, you know, as much as I tried to put that, like, yeah, I've got it all together kind of face on in front of everybody, like behind the curtain, like the great and powerful Oz was like, bro, I am anxious. and like, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get all the stuff done that we need to do to get this thing up and running in time and stuff like that. And the entirety of it was completely me focused. It's like, man, I've got to do this. I've got to get this done. And I would look at the list of stuff, and I'm not the kind of person that makes to-do lists. I'm not. But I found myself just so like in the weeds with stuff that I would make myself a to-do list. I'd come up here and do some stuff, and I'd go home, and I'm like, I totally forgot to do half of this stuff while I was up there. But it was all about me. I was so self-centered in looking at this thing. And so God, as he often will, he let me stay there for a little while. I was so focused on myself, and God was like, all right, brother, you need some time to think through this thing and where you're at right now. But then he gave me this just amazing, have you guys you heard of like a God wink kind of thing, like where God just kind of like gives you that, you know, when your kid does something and there's like a surprise and gives you that little like smile and wink kind of thing. And God did that for me and to me. So have you ever been in a place where you've studied a passage, you know, just either in, you know, small group or here on a Sunday morning or in your personal devotions, and you think you've got it pretty well sorted out? You think you understand what it really means and things like that, but then God sovereignly orchestrates something, things and people and events around you to bring that scripture to life right in front of your eyes. Have you ever had that happen to you? Man, I did this week. This is exactly what God did for me this week, and man, it rocked my world. So I told you last week we were wrapping up the study of 1 Thessalonians. I thought we were. Holy Spirit had other plans. I want to go back and just touch on a couple verses back in the beginning of 1 Thessalonians. So today our passage is 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 through 4. And Hannah's back there. She's probably like, where's the rest of your slides? I have one slide today. That's all we're covering today. So 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 through 4, New English Translation. Paul writes, we thank God always for all of you as we mention you constantly in our prayers, because we recall in the presence of God, of our God and Father, your work of faith, your labor of love, and endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. So I'll take you back. We studied this passage back in August, and this was Paul just bursting forth, overjoyed, just so full of thanksgiving for what that was going on in this little church family that he had only had a few weeks with there in Thessalonica, what they were doing, the fact that they were living out the word of God that they had received with power, showing how incredibly impacted the gospel had just changed them completely from the inside out. Paul had brought them this message, and he said they received it as the word of God, not as the word of man. And it just completely obliterated the landscape there in Thessalonica. And Paul here in this scripture, he's actually like celebrating and lauding the evidence that's showing of their salvation. He's saying that he sees the works produced from faith. These things that they're doing, he says, these things are not just things to do to keep you busy or to put on a good front. He said, these things are works that are being produced from faith. He also said he could see how they were their labor of love, and that word is so descriptive in the original Greek. It's like manual, harsh, hard labor. Like they were toiling in these works and efforts in love. These weren't just, you know, side notes that they were doing to try to put up again on just another front, like, hey, we're the church, look at us, we are love. No, these guys were out there toiling and working hard in agape love. And then he saw how their hope endured even in spite of a million reasons that they could have been justified in throwing in the towel. They had persecution, they had discouragement, they had sorrow for people who were passing away. So they had a million reasons to abandon hope. And Paul says, look, you have endured in the hope. So Paul just bursts forth in praise. He says, praise God, you guys are doing it. You are living it out. So there I was Friday morning, sitting at work. I got into work a little bit early, and just completely wrapped up in myself, and in full honesty, I had been losing sleep all week long. Like I'd be asleep and I would wake up in the middle of the night like, man, I forgot to do this. And I need to do this. And I'm like, I should probably like make a note, and I'd fall asleep and I'd forget it again. But again, I was just so wrapped up in myself over the dumbest little details that wouldn't have made any difference whatsoever. If I had forgotten any one of those things, the event would have gone off beautifully. But I was so just wrapped around the axle over these things. So I'm sitting there at work, and God started putting his finger on me, man, just like, brother, what are you doing? And you know, I preach these scriptures all the time. Do not be anxious about anything. And I'm sitting there just like a ball of knots, you know, losing sleep. And God's like, you know, this is not how it should be. And he started drawing me back to this passage in particular and opening my eyes to something that I really, really needed to see. So Friday morning, I'm sitting at my desk, and God just lovingly grabbed my attention. You've been in that place where you're not looking to God. You're looking at everything else that's around you. And in the passage that said, God is the lifter of my head, that's one of my favorite passages, because you can be in the worst of discouragement or despair or self-centeredness, and it says that God will come along and lift your head. And if I could just like feel that, he's like grabbed my face and pulled me up to look at him. And instead of pouring out a rebuke for being just an idiot and acting the way that I was and the attitude that I had, instead of a rebuke, he just simply pointed my gaze to an incredible truth that I had preached through just a couple months ago. And he's like, you preached it, but man, I don't think you really got it. Let me show this to you again. So I'm sitting here and I start thinking about all that's going into this outreach that we're doing, and it just blew my mind. Like literally, like I'm just like, this is incredible. Because I see this little body of believers, man, look around you. Like seriously, start counting the people sitting around you right now. It's incredible. And I saw this little body of believers with a task requiring them to work tirelessly. I put in a lot of work, but I didn't do all the work at all, not even close. Other people were just invested so much into this outreach, and I saw that. Long hours, a million details to hammer out, people being pulled and voluntold to come out of their comfort zones and things like that. Sheldon Cooper, thank you very much for acting for us. So I'm seeing these things taking place. And they're not doing it so that we can put on the best event, so that we can have talk of the town. Like, dude, that was the best escape room I've ever seen in my life. They weren't doing it to have the most polished presentation, not to draw attention to themselves, but truly and genuinely working all of these things as a genuine and authentic labor of love. Pouring themselves out for the sake of the kingdom, not for our fame, not for our glory, but for the glory of the gospel and the kingdom, trusting not in their own strength, but trusting in God's strength. And as God started taking my self-centered gaze off of myself and showing me these things, I found myself in a place where I started understanding exactly what Paul must have been feeling when he was writing this passage to the church in Thessalonica. So I'm sitting there, full transparency, I'm sitting at my desk, and my eyes start sweating. You guys, that's man tears. I'm just blown away. And I popped on some worship music, and the people were trying to get my attention to ask me a question. I'm like, bro, you gotta give me a minute. I can't deal with that right now. I might get wrinkles. That's one of the lines from the escape room. But I'm just sitting there and just in this place of worship at DNR in the state of Maryland. I stayed an extra 5 minutes to compensate for it. Don't think I was stealing time from the state or anything. But I'm just started thanking God for letting me come and serve alongside people who had such an incredibly faithful service, this labor of love that they poured out, followers who were willing to be used by God. So, you know, I got myself together and I shot a real quick Facebook message to the team, just kind of conveying those thoughts, like, man, this is, you guys are incredible. This is unbelievable what we've been able to accomplish that. And I said, I fully believe that because of that faithfulness and because of the labor of love and this work that's coming out from faith, that God was going to honor that hard work and that faithfulness. So the time came, you know, I was in a much better place, mostly, before the event. We always have the nervousness of wanting things to go right. But the event was coming, and man, it was raining, and it was nasty, it was cold, we wanted to have a bonfire, that wasn't going to happen, and it just, to the flesh, it was like, man, what the heck is going on, this just doesn't seem to be, but, and the problem was too, so the reason that's a big deal is because part of the escape room, the people had to go outside for a brief moment just to get from one room to the next, so it was kind of important, but man, these people came. Group after group came out. I'm thinking, man, people are going to start bailing because it's raining and nasty. But group after group showed up, each one making their way through the escape room and each one picking up not only clues to get out of the escape room, but clues and hints that tied back into the gospel message that they received when they got back in here. And these people were tromping in with muddy, wet feet, wet hair, just soaked to the bone from the short walk from the one room to the next. And they sat and listened to the gospel message that was presented to them. And of course, there was different levels of reaction, as we always would think. There's the glazed over, I don't want to be here listening to this kind of thing, down to people who were just fully, completely engaged to hear what was being spoken. And the premise was for the escape room was basically there was a virus and everyone had become infected with that. And we turned that into an analogy for sin. Everyone has been infected by sin, but God has given us the cure to that through Christ Jesus. And so we made it through the first night, man, and it was like everything went without a hitch. It was incredible. But man, everyone who was here working, was there anyone who worked that wasn't exhausted at the end of the first night? I don't see any hands. Either you're too tired to raise your hand or you're in agreement right now. But man, I've talked about it before, you know, you can do a lot of stuff and be exhausted, and then that's compared to when you're doing the Lord's work, and when you get done, it's a good exhausted, man. You have spent yourself, but you have invested yourself in a place that is just so glorious that, yes, you're tired, but you know that that has been a worthwhile expenditure. So, man, we were wiped. I think most of us didn't get out of here till 10:30, maybe even later that first night. And then the next morning, I watched as some of these same faithful followers got up the next morning early and came in here to serve at Food for Thought, to again give themselves to share the gospel, to make resources available to people. And man, no sleep. And these people were out here just doing it again. And again, they just keep pouring themselves out. And then not very long after that, people from the escape room came and sat in chairs for hours getting makeup put on and putting makeup on and getting things reset and ready to go again for last night. So before we started, we looked and we weren't fully registered last night. We didn't have all the slots filled. Friday night was completely booked. Last night we had two openings in the middle, and then the last two slots were completely open. And full transparency, I was like, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if these last two slots don't get filled, because, you know, that would mean we can clean up a little bit earlier, maybe get out a little bit earlier. And in the course of the day, one of the people who had registered for an early slot on Saturday emailed and said, hey, we've got this commitment. Can we bump our slot back? So they ended up taking the 8:30 slot, which was the last one that we were going to have on the books for last night. And we're like, sure, that's cool, you know, and everything kind of worked out. And again, team after team came. They went through, they heard the gospel, and they saw some different things that hopefully stuck with them to make them consider and chew on those things as they went through the rooms. But even in doing all of that, you know, when you're invested in doing things like this, these kinds of outreach, you're always like, God, you know, are we doing everything we can? Is there going to be like that big payoff moment that you hope for, where someone is just tangibly affected by the glory of the gospel and things like that? And amazingly, God is so faithful and so sovereign. So here's how it worked out. That team that came last, that was scheduled earlier in the day, came in, they came through, and we started the gospel presentation, and there was a young man in the group that was a complete skeptic, vocal, militant skeptic, just had wanted nothing to do with anything of church, was throwing out question upon question, and luckily I had Matt in here to back me up, and we sat and talked with this team of young men for an hour and a half, which we couldn't have done if there was another team scheduled at the end of the night. God is faithful and God is sovereign, and I don't have things in control, but God does. Praise God, He is faithful and He is able. And we were looking for that big payoff, and God's like, I got you. I've got it right here. I'd love to say that the young man fell on his face and repented, but no, here's what happened. We talked to him for an hour and a half, and he heard the complete gospel time and time again, and every member of his team heard the gospel again and again, and they heard answers to questions, hard questions that he kept throwing out over and over again. So at the end of the night, we were exhausted, but brothers and sisters, there was nothing more important than what happened there. I kind of lost track there. 55 people heard the truth of the gospel this past weekend, just coming into these doors. Some who had already heard it and some who knew it. Some got just a reminder of that truth. And there were some who desperately, desperately needed to hear it. And in that motivation, the fact that there were people who needed to hear the gospel, I saw this little body of believers look around, this little body of believers lay themselves out, toiling and laboring in love, just investing everything in love so that those who needed to hear the gospel would come to a place to hear it, that they might come to a place of believing it. And just by It's by some sheer grace that they might come to understand the hope that we have in Christ. So church, Paul wrote it here, and I'm saying the same thing to you. I thank God for you. Because of your humble obedience, not only did that happen, the gospel being powerfully proclaimed, but you also preached a sermon to me that I needed to hear and that I needed to see. And man, it gave me a crystal clear picture of exactly what this scripture is saying. We thank God for you always, for all of you, as we mentioned you constantly in our prayers, because we recall in the presence of our God and Father your work of faith, your labor of love, and endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you. I have seen your work of faith, pouring yourselves out, being used by God to do works that are products of the deep faith that you have. This wasn't just something to do to be religious and to do things. This was a product of your faith, an overflow of the deep belief and love that you have. And I have seen you work long, tireless hours, sweating and even bleeding, Dennis. I've seen you standing out in the driving rain in a puddle 3 inches deep, waiting for people to come out so that they could be led here to hear the gospel. Going beyond the limits of yourself to display the love that knows no limits. And I have seen you guys hold fast to hope, even as you were dealing with things in your personal lives that could have shaken you and forced you to lose hope, trials and troubles, yet you faithfully give yourself to the mission of sharing the gospel. I thank God for you. I was looking at this passage, and one commentator said that when you look here in this passage of what Paul is saying, and you see the emphasis that he puts on faith, love, and hope, one thing is purely evident. All three of these things are inseparable, and they are always, always meant to be outward. None of these things are intended to be kept and held onto just for ourselves. They are meant to be outward. Faith is outwardly directed towards God, resting on the completed work of salvation, looking backwards to the cross. Love looks outwardly to others, working here and now in the present, reflecting the love that we have received by faith. And hope looks outwardly to the future, not grounded on speculation. When we say hope, we don't use it the way the world does. Like, man, I really hope that happens. Our hope is grounded in something that will happen, full surety and assurance that it's going to happen based on the faithfulness of the one who made the promise. Calvin said that in these three things, faith, love, and hope, when you look at those together, that is basically a brief description and definition of true Christianity. If you want the quick and dirty definition of what true Christianity is, faith, love, and hope. John Albert Bengel said that these three things are what the whole of Christianity consists. And Paul says, we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you. How did He know that? How did He know that? He says it's based on the evidence. It was blatantly clear and undeniable that they had been radically changed by the gospel. Man, I am so proud to say that the same thing is evident here in this church. I see here in this body unmistakable faith, and I see unbreakable hope, all of that being founded upon and flowing out from love, true, selfless agape love. I see that God has deposited his love in you, and then you in turn reinvest that for the cause of Christ in the power of God. I have seen this play itself out before my eyes, and I am just completely just beside myself and overwhelmed that God has allowed me to come serve alongside you guys. This is just, it doesn't make sense to me. You guys are faithful, loving, and hopeful people. Now here's the thing, lest you think I'm only throwing out kudos to those people who were able to help with the escape room outreach. I'm not. I'm not limiting this statement to those who worked over the past couple weeks for what took place. For years and years and years, I have watched with wonder as this tiny little body has been used by God in ways that just astounds me and blows me away. You all do truly hold fast to the mission that God has placed upon this little church to remain faithful in the small, to be available, to be used by God in whatever capacity he calls us to, and to invest your lives for the sake of the gospel, to see others receive hope. You guys are doing it. And for that, and for you, I give thanks to God. And I thank you guys for preaching to me this past week and the past several years. Your lives are a living sermon on what Paul was saying in this very scripture. And man, I am beyond excited to see where God takes us as we seek to do these things more and more and more, as Paul has exhorted us to do. Amen.